Chapter 14, we'll start in verse 1. Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And today we are actually fulfilling Scripture. Amen. That's just the truth. We're giving testimony. And everywhere the gospel is preached, preachers get to this passage of Scripture and they preach on it. So let's bow our heads if you would and let's ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you again for the music and the singing and the preaching and the food and the fellowship and all that you've given us and provided us. And Lord, we're just thankful that we have a place to come where we can worship and fellowship and enjoy life and enjoy the blessings of God. But Lord, I just pray you'd help us to continue to learn and continue to grow. And Lord, I pray you'd use this message in the hearts of your people. You know what we need. You know what's necessary and needful. So Lord, help us to recognize that and just humble ourselves and hear your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, of course, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's mirrored in the other Gospels as well. In another place, Mary is the sister of Lazarus, and Martha is the one that's identified as who this is. And here they don't identify the name, but in the other Gospels they do. It's also identified that Judas was kind of the primary one that was doing the complaining. And so there's a lot of information there that we have as we read all the accounts together and put them together. But I want you to see some things. It says, in verse 3, it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now, the first thing I want you to see here today is that Mary came, or this woman came, and she brought an alabaster box. And alabaster wasn't cheap. But what was in the box was even more expensive. It's called spikenard. Spikenard, during that time, it was made from a plant that was imported from India. It was very, very expensive, very costly. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. It was something that was more likely to be had by the people that were rich. And you go and you read in the Bible and you look in the Song of Solomon, there's a lot of mentions of spikenard in there. And there's other places where it's talked about in the Bible. But it's almost always talked about people that the royalty of Israel, the wealthy, those are the people that had that. And so it was very precious. Now, we don't really know. I mean, for all we know, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary may have been very rich. We don't know. We're not really told anything about that. We're told about Lazarus' resurrection. We're told about Jesus' interaction with Mary and Martha and those things that are there. But she comes there and she takes something that is very precious to her, very expensive. And she decides, she's being led by the Spirit of God, and she decides she's going to use that for the Lord. Now, what would happen in those... there's another place where Jesus is talking to a fellow by the name of Simon, and he says, you know, there was another woman who came and anointed him, and he told Simon, he said, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint." And he said, "My feet, you gave me no water for my feet, you didn't anoint my head with oil." It was a normal thing when somebody came to your house, you would anoint their, you would give them something to freshen up, wash their feet and wash their hair and anoint their hair with oil and something to refresh them. It was a custom, it was a courtesy. But you didn't take the very best you had and put it out in something that was so costly because it was a common practice. So, you know, if you didn't have a lot of money, you weren't going to be giving everybody that come in spikenard to anoint themselves. But she took that which was most precious and she gave it. So she gave something when she decided to give something of the Lord. She didn't just give him the leftover. She gave something that was of great cost and great value. And you know, a lot of times God gets the leftovers. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, why would I give the one who saved my soul from eternity in hell that which is left over? And you go all the way back into the Old Testament and you see that same principle. Remember when David numbered the people? And if you go back into the Old Testament, David numbers the people and because of his pride, and God rebukes him and God gives him three choices of what punishment is going to happen because of his pride and his sin. And then toward the end of that, when people were dying around them because of the plague that the Lord had sent, and people are dying because of David's sin, David goes and he is told to go and purchase the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he said, "Go and put an altar there." So David goes to Ornan and he says, "Look," he said, I need this place to make a burnt offering." And there's a lot of other things that go into that threshing floor. It's really an amazing thing that what happens there. But he tells him to go there, and Ornan said, "Look," he said, "You can have it." He said, "It's yours." He said, "You take." I mean, David was the king. And David said something in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 24. And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." David says, "No, I'm the guilty one here. I need to give. I'm not going to offer God something that's without cost." And that's an amazing thing. And we see that picture. And the other thing I would say about that gift, and this is not even where I'm getting it. This is all extra. It's free. It won't cost you anything else. But the other thing I want you to see is when she gave it in a manner that was final. She broke it. She didn't take some and pour some out on his head and then put the top back on and save some for later. She decided this belongs to God, and she gave all of it. She broke the box and she opened it up, and there's no way to get it back. And you know, we've got to learn when we give things to God, we ought to learn we really give them to God. When we make an offering to the Lord. You know, serving God will, if it's done right, It costs something. It costs something. And I'm not talking about financial gain necessarily. Yes, we can talk about money being involved. We can talk about giving and tithing and missions and all the different things that we talk about. But it always costs something. Even when we come to a regular church service, the idea is that we come and to worship the Lord, and there should be something that we should give, right? It should cost you something. Now, what it may cost you is just your pride, your willingness, you being willing to humble yourself before the Lord and let the Lord work in your heart. Let the Lord speak to you and allow the Lord and yield yourself to the Lord. Because, by the way, look, God doesn't want what's yours. He wants you. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. You go in the book of Proverbs, what He says? He says, "My son, give me thine heart." He asked for it. He just wants us to give it. So I want you to think about that. And so it's an amazing thing when you look at that. And then, of course, we look at the next verses and we see the things that are happening. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And there's always going to be those who think that the worship and service of the Lord is a waste of time, that it could be better spent. But I want to remind you, the book of John makes it clear that the fellow that did the most complaining about it was Judas, and he was a traitor. And not only was he a traitor, not only did he betray the Lord, but he also, the Bible says, he had the bag. He had everybody fooled. Boy, hey, let's make Judas the treasurer. But Judas was taking money out. He was a thief. The Bible tells us he was a thief. The Bible tells us he had a devil. And we find some things about Judas Iscariot, but he's the one that does that. And most of the people that complain about any cost to the service of the Lord, the truth of the matter is they just want what belongs to God. That's just the truth. They want what belongs to God. It's not theirs, but they want it. They don't want it given to God. They don't want it in the service of the Lord. And it's an amazing thing when you look at the scriptures. And then in verse 5, we need to realize something. They used an example. They said, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." Hey, we could have helped a lot of poor people with that. But when it comes to the service of the Lord, we need to realize something. If we really want to have the type of service to God that we're supposed to have, we need to understand some of the paradoxes that find their way into that, and we need to change the way we think it. Our worship and service to God is first. Our service to others is produced by our service to the Lord, not the other way around. That's the way the world does it. The world goes out and they go out and people try to go out and they say, "Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for God." All the while neglecting the Lord, rejecting salvation, or rejecting a close fellowship with God that we talked about in the morning service. Those are the people that are going to be there one day and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus answers them as, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you."
It's our worship of the Lord that comes first. And the service that we do for others in obedience to God's command, that comes out of our worship, out of our service to the Lord. The focus is on the Lord first. You don't have to worry about whether or not you'll have a heart for other people if you get close to God and actually give your own heart to God. Because He'll take care of that. He'll direct you on where to go. And so there's the picture that we need to see. So and then he goes on and he says in verse 6, he says, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." In other words, he was saying, I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm not going to be here with you much longer. In other words, there was a time limit on when they could actually do something for God. Literally for Him. Directly to Him. There was a time limit. The poor would be here always. He said, but I'm not going to be here always. And we know that because He's at the right hand of the Father now. We wait for His return, don't we? So there's the picture. But did you know that your opportunity to serve God has a time limit down here? Yes, we'll serve Him in eternity forever, but our opportunity to serve the Lord has a time limit down here. The opportunity for you to make a difference on this planet, this chunk of dirt for God, has a time limit. And we have to understand that. Our opportunity to serve the Lord here is limited. It's limited by our time. It's limited by our abilities or lack thereof. It's limited sometimes by circumstance. You know, we talked about that Philippian church who was supporting Paul at one time, and then there came a time where they lacked the opportunity to help him. And then the opportunity came back, boy, and they jumped on it. We need to recognize that. Sometimes our time is limited. Nobody here knows. I don't know the day of my death. Do you know the day of yours? Do you know when your family and your friends and your loved ones and your neighbors, do you know what the day of their death is going to be? You don't. That's why the Bible says today, if you'll hear His voice. Today. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day if you're not saved. Today's the day to get saved. Because you don't know that you're going to have tomorrow. And you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Amen. Well, what about the people around you who may not be saved? What about the folks out here? What about the people you meet every day? What about your family? What about your friends? What about your grandkids and great-grandkids? Or your children? You don't know how long it's going to be. So many crazy things happen in this world, and it just gets crazier all the time. And the opportunity to give the gospel to people, it's limited in this world. And it's limited for people to hear. So we need to understand that. And then finally, I want to get down to the main point of the entire message. He said this. He said, "You have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying.
She's done what she could. She
didn't really have a lot to do. She was there, she was listening, she was there, she was serving, she was doing all these things, and the Spirit of God moved on her heart to do something directly for the Lord Jesus, and she went and did it. She did Him a great honor. She came and she wept and all the things that she did, but she took that spikenard and she broke it and she poured it out on Him and anointed His head and gave Him an honor above everybody else that was there. And people complained, and Jesus is about to go to Calvary's cross. There is nothing that can stop that. In the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, it said He set His face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. There was nothing that was going to stop Him. The Greeks came and they said to one of the disciples, they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And the implication is there is that they wanted Him to come away to them. And Jesus said, He said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour I'm come." In other words, I came here for this. I came to die for the sins of mankind. I came to pay that price. I came to suffer in your place. What am I going to say? Save me from this hour? There was nothing that was going to stop it. The time was limited. She didn't have much she could do. There wasn't going to be a lot of opportunities for people to sit and hear the gospel preached by the Lord. There wasn't going to be that much time. And here she is, and she wants to do something for God. And so God moved on her heart, and she just did what she could. She just did what she could. She just did what she had there available to honor God with. She may have had a thousand dreams and 1,000 plans, but right now what matters is now, this moment, what are you going to do? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised an hour from now. We're not promised that. What are you going to do for God? You're sitting here in a service, hearing the Bible. What are you going to do? Are you going to open your heart to God and you're going to allow Him to speak to you? Or are you just going to think about everything else? Or are you just going to do what you can? And if God gives us the time and the opportunity to serve, what are you going to do? God's not asking a whole lot. He's just asking you to do what you can. Now granted, there are many times we can do a whole lot more than we think we can. But you'll never get to that point if you don't just learn to do what you can right now. Just do what you can right now. I mean, we could go down the list of all things we could talk about. Let me ask you a question. Can you pray? Yeah. Did you pray? Did you do what you could? Can you give? Oh yeah. Did you give? Can you tell somebody how you got saved? Did you tell somebody how you got saved? Serving God's not nearly as hard as we want to make it out to be. Most of it is, you know, the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially they that are of the household of faith. Not when we get the time, as we have the opportunity, when it presents itself. It's just a matter of doing what you can. You say, well, I can't do all that, preacher. God's not asking you to do all that. He's asking you to do what you can. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't start out preaching to
thousands. And he didn't start out planting churches. Did you know that? Did you know he spent a lot of time by himself with the Lord? Go and read the things that he says. Go read what he says in Galatians. He hit the ground running and preaching and teaching, because he knew things, but he spent a lot of time. You know, Brother Barnabas had to go find him and get him and bring him. And he was just off there in the desert doing what he could. He was in Arabia doing what he could. And by doing what he could, he began to find out he could do more. That's the man who said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And a lot of times we look at the things that we're talking about. We say we've got the Nab family and the Gormans and the Teagues and all the Stokes and the Maticheras and the Clauses and all the other Brother Larry and all the other missionaries and the people that we have. And we say, boy, they're going out and they're doing all these things. And I can't do that. That may be true. But I would say if God didn't call you to do that, you shouldn't do that. You should do what you can. Do what God's speaking to your heart about doing. Now, everybody's a missionary in the sense that everybody has a responsibility to give the gospel out. But the simple fact is that you know, we may be limited as to opportunity or ability, but we should make use of both, whatever we have, to serve the Lord. Just do what we can. Give to God unreservedly. Give it wholeheartedly. Give it all that we can. And just give God that and allow God to work. And it'll be we'll be amazed in the long run that what actually takes place and what God does. You know, it's an amazing thing. She came to do this, and she was doing something. There's no real indication that she knew what she was doing. But we come to find out, as we go into that, we come to find out that she is actually doing something far more significant than she knows, doesn't she? Look what it says. It says, she had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. This is an amazing thing when we look at this. Jesus did not die the way that most people in that day died. When people got to the point of dying there, they would take them and they would have people there, and that people would wash them and clean them and take care of them, all the things we turn up our nose at. But this was part of life. They had to deal with it, and they took care of it, and they anointed the body, and they took care of them. They did all the different things that they did. But Christ died on Calvary's cross, didn't he? He died the death of a criminal, though he committed no crime. And Mary comes and she does this. She says, "I just want to give this to the Lord. I want to give him something." We're not party to her mindset or anything like that. But there's no indication she understood what she was doing. But Jesus tells us that she did something significant. She honored him by anointing his body beforehand to the burial. And that's the way it is. When we take the opportunity to serve God and while we can and do what we can, it might turn out to be far more significant than you ever dreamed or imagined. If you go, and I talked this morning about going and reading the testimonies of people like Fanny Crosby, right? And great Christians of old, and I've talked about reading Fox's Book of Martyrs and different places, things like that, where you can actually see the things that Christians went through before, and see how they were victorious and God took care of them. You know, you just never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. There was a great evangelist by the name of Dwight Moody. And he preached all over the world, preached the gospel all over the place, and had thousands, if not millions, of professions of faith. There was a Sunday school teacher who led him to the Lord. We can go back over the great preachers. We can go back to all these things. Somebody led him to the Lord. Somebody did a great thing. Early in Dwight Moody's ministry as a preacher, he was going around, he was preaching, and he was getting good results. And he was going from church to church, and he noticed that he was going this one area that he was going in, and he said there were two little old ladies that would always sit on the front pew, and they kept showing up wherever he was at. And they were praying for him, and he said it got to bother him. And ladies, he said, I notice y'all come to my meetings. I'm thankful for you coming to my meetings, but I notice you spend all your time with your heads bowed, and it's it doesn't even look like you're paying attention to the meeting. And they said, well, Mr. Moody, we're just praying for you. He said, well, thank you for that. What do you? And she said, he said, but I'd like you to listen to the messages and everything like that. And she said, well, but he said, you don't understand, Brother Moody. He said, we're praying that you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. And boy, that put a burr under his saddle, and he began to it bothered him, and he's like, well, I'm not filled with the Spirit. And they were sitting there, and then he just began to get burdened his heart. He began to cry out to God, and then all of a sudden, things changed. People got saved, and it was just an amazing thing that happened. It's because of two little old ladies who just did what they could. So we have a Sunday school and two ladies that, if I remember correctly, they were up in their 70s and 80s years old, and they were praying. God put it on their heart to pray, and they were obedient. They just did it. The preacher that they were praying for even kind of rebuked them for not paying attention in the thing, but we're doing this for the Lord. It made a difference. That's the way God works. Just you and I, just being willing to do whatever it is we can. We'll find out we can do so much more as we go along, but you don't know what God's going to do with that little bit you seem to do. You say, well, it's not much, it's just something. You don't know what that's going to mean. Just like you don't know the day of your death, you don't know what God's going to do. You had done what you could. And all I'm asking you is to search your heart and ask the question, have I done what I can? Am I just willing to do what I can do? Where I'm at right now, have I done what I can? Maybe that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Just do what I can. So often we just get so caught up in ourselves and we never worry about, have I served the Lord today? Have I done what I can? And that's really all you need to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Heavenly Father, you know every heart, and you know every need, you know every burden, you know every fear. You know the things we're ashamed of. You know the things that we are afraid of. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to, despite all those things, just to simply, when we see, and we pray you'd open our eyes to see, when we see what
we can do to honor and worship you, no matter how small, but we just do what we can. Do it unreservedly. Just give everything that we have. Give it in a manner that says it's yours. Not worry about what everybody else says or thinks. But just have one desire, and that's to honor and to please you. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. Lord, if there's one that's lost here today, you know that, even though we can't look into hearts and see, you see all things. So if there's one lost, we pray for their salvation. But for your people, we just simply pray that you'd help us to just simply do what we can. That you'd remind us on a daily basis, Lord, that sometimes all we can do is just simply choose that good part. Choose to draw near to you. Lord, just help us to do what we can. Lord, we have a testimony of a woman who just did what she could. She couldn't change the future. She couldn't change anybody else. She just did what she could to honor and worship you. I just pray you'd help us to do the same. Help us to realize that nothing too small to do for God. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the singing and the music and the preaching and the food and the fellowship and the time we've had together. The Lord, help us to take away something from it. Help us to be a people that no matter what goes on around us, we just decide to do what we can to serve the Lord. Help us, we pray. Pray you bless us as we